You're listening to The Swinger University with Ed and Phoebe, an educational podcast about swinging. Nothing in life comes with a manual, so our intent is to provide a concise podcast to help make sense of the complex and fluid nature of sexuality and swinging as a hobby. You will hear about our growth, challenges, and excitement through our personal stories. We will offer our suggestions on what works well and what doesn't each step of the way. We appreciate the existing Swinger podcast community and hope our offering will enrich an ever-growing sex-positive society. This podcast discusses sexuality between consenting adults and is intended for mature audiences. We are not licensed professionals, and this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Hey there, everyone. This is Phoebe.
And this is Ed.
Today at the Swinger University, we are going to talk about the pros and cons of swinging. Because we're positive thinkers, we'll start with the positive aspects of the swing lifestyle.
Communication. We experienced a lot of positive communication, some negative communication at the very beginning when we were very nervous and not sure exactly what was going to go on and how to react to things. But on the whole, we found that our communication and our need to communicate has improved a great deal.
Yes, obviously a pro. We've talked way more than we ever did before, although that's a little hard to measure since we started this journey before we were even married.
Right.
So we've always had a lot of things to talk about, but this really pushed those boundaries and levels of intimate communication. And I think it's been really, really good.
Yeah. Not to go into too much detail, because we do have an entire episode planned for communication or about communication and a lot of the aspects about it. As an example, the things that you see, the things that you experience, I mean, our first exposure in the lifestyle was at this hotel party. We left with a whole range of new topics to talk about, things that we hadn't thought about, things that we were exposed to that brought up emotions and feelings that we hadn't envisioned. Most of them were very exciting.
Or overwhelming.
Right, that too.
So much to process. You will find a lot of things to talk about because it's new. It's really like any other hobby. When you dive into it, there's all this new information and things to research and get involved in and to discuss and to manage. So that's why we also kind of like to call it a hobby. Strength and bond. Your strength in each other and your bond will grow immensely if you both have the desire to learn and grow and share your experiences with one another in the complete comfort and security of knowing that that other person is always by your side, then it can strengthen and create a lot of new bonding experiences. We have run into a lot of couples that have been together for 30 years. They were married in their 20s. This is very, very common in the lifestyle. They already have that deep bond and trust that's just unbreakable and unshakable. We didn't have that in the beginning, but just right, because we didn't have the years under us. So there were some challenges with that, which, as Ed was talking about, we will go into later in another episode. Whether you're new, whether you've got 5 years, you know, into your relationship or 30, it's going to strengthen and bond you.
Yeah, and I think the key aspect to that is even if you have a long established relationship or you're new to it, it's these new experiences. It's kind of putting your relationship through a new series of tests.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the classic example that everybody talks about with a test for their relationship is going on a vacation. You know, your first right, family vacation or your first vacation with your partner. Everything that can go wrong will go wrong on a vacation. I mean, everything from the taxi to the airplane ride to hotel accommodations, you name it, bad things happen on vacations. It's just, it's a stressful time to mm-hmm, go through all of these different plans and experiences.
I wanted to point out stress is good. There's you stress and there's stress.
Right.
So good stress and then, well, bad stress.
Well, and the trick about it is, and I think this strength and bond, a lot like when you exercise, your bones get thicker. As you exercise your relationship and your communication in that relationship and put your relationship through different experiences, it strengthens through being tested and coming out on the other side of that test. And, you know, this lifestyle will test your relationship in a lot of different ways. You're exposing it in new and different ways that you hadn't seen before.
Exactly.
One of the other really great, very positive things, it can improve your sex life. Doesn't for everyone, but it certainly did for us. Like the communication that we talked about in that first pro, we started talking more about sex, and things came out about our own sexuality and our interactions in sexuality with each other that we hadn't thought to bring up. But because of things that we'd seen, or because of things that we'd experienced, or because of, you know, coming up with great ideas, we'd kind of started pushing our boundaries for our sex life. And it's been great. We've had some really amazing sexual experiences, but we've also, just in our own bedroom, have improved our sex life as a result of kind of this added stimulus and added exposure and additional talking. I mean, most couples don't even talk about their sex life, and this lifestyle will force you to talk about it.
Yes.
And it's fantastic, especially if you like sex.
Right. I like to think that a lot of people like sex. It's awkward or unusual to talk about sex. They're not used to it, perhaps. Maybe they have some predisposed, I don't want to say hang-ups, but you're just not used to doing it, or you're conditioned. That's the word I'm looking for. You're conditioned not to talk about sex.
Right.
You know, or you only do it, you know, in secret or with your best girlfriends, but you never discuss it with your husband. I mean, there's all kinds of different, I want to say unusual, maybe they are unusual ways of, you know, rules, or so to speak, of what you should and shouldn't do. And usually when I run across something that somebody says you should do this, I usually do the opposite. So
kind of a tangent to that is knowledge. So one of the things that you'll be exposed to is different partners. And with each new partner that you're exposed to, you have the opportunity of being exposed to different positions or different techniques. They've learned techniques by what their partner really enjoys. And in a sense, you kind of pass it on as a oral tradition of sorts. Having that communication with these new partners, you'll learn new tricks. You'll learn these new things. You'll even learn new techniques just by watching other people in the room. You may not even have to participate with them, but you know, we've seen plenty of experiences going on in playrooms where just kind of watching across the room, you can see someone doing something that you hadn't thought of doing, or some new position, and you learn from that. So this kind of this knowledge sharing that goes on when you have new partners.
Meeting your needs. You may have a partner who's bisexual. So the partner that you're with who's straight obviously can't meet your needs because you may be bisexual. Having that trust and that form of communication where you can approach your partner and say, hey, I really have this desire. I would really like to explore this side of my sexuality, my bisexuality. Would you be willing to do that with me? Would you be able to come along that journey with me? And that is a really wonderful gift if that lifetime partner that you're with can do that with you. Did you want to expand on that one?
Well, I was just going to say, it's this opportunity to share something with your partner. Mm-hmm. And with that communication, with that kind of expansion of your boundaries and this newer, deeper understanding that you have of your partner, things like bisexuality or sexual curiosities comes out, and it can maybe fulfill needs that you didn't even know that you had.
Exactly. We've run into friends who really like to flirt. Ed really likes to flirt.
Yes, I do.
One of our friends, I can't remember now what she said, but it was something along the lines of she loves flirting. It's a very natural part of who she is. And when she is at lifestyle events, she can fully be the person that she feels like she is without getting in trouble flirting with somebody else. Because if she were to do that at anywhere else in public, people would look at her like,
"You're married. What are you
doing? You're married. What are you doing?" So if you like that form of attention, or it fuels you in some way, whatever that need is, through flirting, you can get that need met. Now, you can get it met in person via texting or video or phone, sharing pictures and chatting. There's all types of apps out there that people use to chat and text each other. So there's this kind of dance that some couples will do with the online or the texting.
Kick app is probably one of our usual communication tools that we've had.
Right.
A number of couples on there really do like to send pictures and photographs before they meet to kind of get you revved up before you arrive at the event, or to kind of excite the meeting before you get there.
Right. There's some pros and cons to that, and we'll talk about that in another episode. Also, for us, it's not our favorite type of activity.
We definitely prefer to just meet in person.
Just meet. Just meet, engage in conversation, and see where you're at. And you always have a good time. You know, meeting new people is always fun and entertaining. And you always walk away with, usually with a friend or something fun and interesting about the evening.
Exactly. Exactly. One of the other needs that we can consider is a desire or a curiosity list, often referred to as a bucket list. Or in the lifestyle, more of a fuck it list.
Right.
And, you know, everybody's got a curiosity about a particular thing. It could be anything. It could be really tall people, really muscular people. And in a lot of respects, it has to do with this sense of variety.
Mm-hmm.
And your partner can only meet certain requirements. I'm not a particularly tall person. I wouldn't ever meet that desire or that fantasy of Phoebe's to have a really tall, very muscular guy. I'm just not that size. There are aspects of your partner that you really enjoy, but then there are certain things that you go, "Hey, I wonder what it would be like." When we were on the cruise, there was a guy walking around. He must have been
Aquaman.
6'5", but yeah, he looked like...
Oh, he looked just like Aquaman.
Really big guy.
Goliath.
Super muscular.
That's a tree you can climb. Woohoo!
Yeah. Yeah.
So if your partner's not 6'5" and built like Aquaman, that could be really fun. It's just different.
Yeah. A lot of times people have cultural fantasies. Mm-hmm. They'll have hair color fantasies. I mean, everybody talks about redheads and brunettes and blondes, and there's a particular mm-hmm. thing there. Some people have fantasy about larger women. Some people have fantasies about really fit women. It runs the gamut. And the interesting thing is there's always somebody out there to meet that fantasy.
Absolutely.
Whatever it is.
It's true. It's always out there.
There's something for everybody.
There is. There truly is. It's really awesome. Your confidence will improve.
Yes. Confidence is always a good thing.
I have run into people
who are overconfident.
Who are overconfident, and you're like, no, you are not God's gift to all women, and just chill.
Yes.
Calm your tits, as they say.
But in this particular case, the pro of confidence is you gain the ability to just walk up to random people, strike up a conversation, flirt with them. Without that confidence, you wouldn't have normally done something like that. You know, maybe you're a wallflower. Maybe you're very timid. Maybe you're more of an introvert. The other part of that confidence...
Body image. Is that where you're going?
No, but that's a good example. Your confidence is as you are found to be attractive by other people, as people compliment you, your confidence goes up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's...
Sexy.
It's very sexy. That's where I was going with it.
Yes, confidence is hugely confidence sexy.
And enthusiasm are mm-hmm. both very sexy.
Very, very sexy.
People who are self-conscious or awkward, they don't exude sexuality. They don't exude this
internal energy. Yes, internal energy. Yes. So the body, with your improved confidence, your body image starts to improve. Maybe you become more comfortable with your body. Maybe you become more comfortable walking around naked more often or wearing different types of clothing, or sexy clothing.
Yeah, less comfortable clothing.
Less comfortable.
Yeah, the high heels, the crazy shoes.
Oh, yeah.
But also things that you were comfortable in before and uncomfortable in terms of the amount of exposure.
Right.
You become more comfortable in that because of that confidence boost that you get from it.
Exactly. You will also have that internal sexiness that we were touching on a little bit earlier. That will improve as you start to grow in confidence. You will see yourself differently and you will feel differently.
You build up this ability to positively reinforce your own sexuality, your own sexiness,
mm-hmm.
your newfound confidence, your confidence in your techniques and your skills and your ability, your wearing nicer clothes, you're feeling sexier because you're kind of exuding this outer image. It kind of builds on you.
Yes.
And so pretty soon at parties, you're just having a great time. You mm-hmm. hardly even notice what you're wearing.
Exactly. You may have so much confidence that you decide that you want to be more of an exhibitionist.
Right. Well,
maybe you want to really stretch those limits of showing off your body or even performing. Maybe you want to masturbate in front of a crowd or, you know, who knows? I mean, you can, having sex in front of people, that's pretty sexy, but masturbating in front of a group of people, that would be hot. I haven't really seen anybody do that.
I have. On the cruise this last
wonder month. Who that was.
Yeah. This very, very sexy woman decided, got very excited, and she just kind of let herself go.
I did. It was amazing. I don't know what happened that night, but that was awesome.
It was fabulous. And everyone else enjoyed it too, which of course was kind of like a feedback loop.
Mm-hmm.
You saw how excited they were, which got you more excited. And it was fabulous.
I showered them.
It was
awesome.
Amazing. And they enjoyed every second of it.
So obviously the opposite of that is being a voyeur and getting comfortable with watching. When we first started this journey into the lifestyle, watching sex was only in porn. So watching live sex was highly unusual.
Right.
Never, ever done that before. It seemed like it was very taboo or wrong or just weird because it was unusual. And not a lot of people talk about that. So it was really something to kind of get used to and to process.
And I think that's probably the first step into building confidence was being comfortable enough to just watch.
Yes.
A lot of people are so shy. They're like, oh, I couldn't do that. I don't know.
Right.
That seems really weird.
Has to be with the lights off. And
yeah. Yes. We're definitely not a lights off.
No.
Couple anymore.
No.
Yeah, introverts versus extroverts. And I think that we've gained confidence as we've learned to meet people, to be able to walk up to people and kind of have that confidence. And, you know, we like to pass this tip on, and that is that you can set yourself a goal of meeting one new couple at each event. You can start small, just one, and that's just walk up, introduce yourselves, ask them a few questions, maybe run your elevator pitch at them, and just see what happens. And you don't have to pick the shyest people in the room. Go pick the people who you think are hot, right? Just go for it. The worst thing that can happen is they introduce themselves to you and then nothing happens after that.
Right.
It's not all that bad.
No, it's not. People are very nice.
Yes. And we've found swingers are some of the nicest people anywhere.
Absolutely.
Everybody's putting it out there and everyone's feeling vulnerable. So everybody feels nice about talking to people and making them feel at ease because they were in the same position at one point too.
Exactly. Exactly.
As you talk to people, your introversion will slowly begin to convert into extroversion. And you will be able to walk up to people and have conversations and have those quote-unquote awkward conversations that you wouldn't have been able to have before. So all of these pros are kind of building up to a point where you can just walk up to anybody and have a conversation. And the really cool thing is this translates into real life as well. The ability to just have conversations with people at a work event or any place else. These are great life skills. The lifestyle can give you life skills.
Absolutely. When I tell people I'm an introvert, they freak out. They're like, what? I'm like, well, yes, technically, because I like to recharge my batteries in quiet. People deplete me. That classifies me as the typical introvert.
Right.
The way I get around that is I just use the whole fake it till you make it. Now it's just become comfortable. It's just
right.
Something that I do.
Right. And the more you do something, as you said, fake it till you make it, you become more comfortable doing it. It becomes
Absolutely.
Almost a habit. You build up techniques and skills in order to be able to do that and repeat that behavior. It's great. Taking control of your own pleasure.
That's my topic. In the lifestyle, you will find that not everyone is going to push your buttons. Taking control of your own pleasure is key, whether you're with your primary partner or not.
Right.
I love telling Ed more of that. Slower. Faster. Can you do this? Can you finger me? Can you do that? You know, because
I love instructions.
You're always so happy to supply those. Supply my request with actions. So doing that with these other partners that you're with, also important. Little instructions, and that is taking control of your own pleasure. So if you know it makes you feel good, let them know. Hey, my clitoris is very sensitive. Please be gentle. That's it. Super easy. I've used that instruction before on men. Great. Not a problem.
Right.
Hey, my nipples are very sensitive, but you can just chew on them with your molars. I love that. Their eyes go, bam. Okay. So.
Exactly.
Now I know they love the instruction. They're like, they've got a window into what makes me feel good. And who doesn't want to please somebody? It's exciting. It's titillating. It's a sense of power, giving somebody what they want. It's very erotic. And so taking control of your own pleasure through instruction is very, very rewarding for everybody.
Right. And it's liberating for you to be able to verbally express what you want or what you need.
Right.
It's sexy. The other people, the partner, the other people in the room love hearing it too. Nice verbal instructions, especially if it's getting heated and passionate.
Yes.
Harder, faster,
mm-hmm.
more perfect. I love it. Just like that.
Exactly.
And
more lube.
Exactly. And your confidence builds up as you do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important for you to be able to express what you need. Otherwise, your partner probably isn't going to figure it out.
Right.
They might, but it's going to be random or accidental.
Yes.
Party time, sexy time, just being in that environment where other people are having sex, when it's a hotel takeover or a playroom in a house, or you've got a couple over at your house, depending on how you like to swing. That party time, that play time with other people is so much fun. sex should really be fun. And one of the biggest pros of this whole thing is you get to have more sex.
Right.
And you get to have all kinds of different sex because it's different people, which is amazing. Bisexual experiences, so, you know, it, whether you're into three ways or you, or it's a couple couples, the opportunity to kind of cross-pollinate is there. And so your opportunities to try different and new things and have that amazing sexual chemistry and experience and that excitement and that rush of adrenaline and all kinds of things. It's fantastic.
Exactly.
That randomness is part of this experience. We find that in playrooms, opportunities come up where you hadn't planned on something or you didn't know who was going to be in the playroom, but that random experience that you see, you know, maybe there's a couple on the bed next door that's getting really excited and really frisky. That's something random. You don't know that that's going to happen. It's unexpected.
Right.
But amazing. Yes. And fun.
We've talked about our random experiences in the playroom and how exciting those have been. And I really do encourage people to try that out. You just don't know. You have to get past your precepts of the way people look, because when you see people having sex or you're near them and they're in that moment and they're experiencing their full sexuality and they're very comfortable, you may start off with, oh my God, I just have to kiss her lips. They just look fabulous. I have to go touch her. She looks like she needs to be touched. She looks like her hair needs to be stroked. Or I just want to see if I can just touch her breast. And then all of a sudden, then maybe something else is happening, you know, or maybe it's just that. And that alone is very, very sexy. But you wouldn't have known that you were going to have that small, random, sexy experience sucking on a random woman's nipple at the beginning of the night, 2 hours earlier.
Right.
You didn't know that. You're like, oh, there's the blonde woman over there that I want to suck her nipple. No, you don't know that.
Right.
It only happens randomly in the playroom. And it's just, I don't know, it's fabulous. I just encourage you, just do it.
Yeah.
Just try it.
We have a number of friends who are very nervous or uncomfortable being in kind of that open, exposed play experience. And we find that unfortunate because there have been so many experiences that we've had that were
wonderful.
Yeah, just amazing experiences that weren't expected. They weren't planned. We didn't find a couple across the room, engage them in conversation, have this build up and really establish a relationship with them before you invite them back to a room or anything like that. That takes a lot of work.
It does. Yeah.
And it's not always guaranteed to have something come out.
Mm-mm.
But I think a number of our friends just feel that that's the proper way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're uncomfortable. And I think some of it is being self-conscious and some of it has to do with body image. I highly encourage you to just get over it.
Yeah.
It's scary at first and you feel intimidated by it, but the reward is amazing.
And take comfort in knowing that you will know who is sexy to you. I'm not asking you or inferring that you are going to go way outside the bounds of what you are comfortable with. Or what your criteria is, you will know based on kind of this vibe. You will know if the creepy guy hand is coming over at you and he didn't ask, or it's just his vibe. You know. So
right.
It doesn't happen often. Don't be afraid. 9 out of 10 times, it's always amazing.
And I mean, even if you don't interact with other couples and, you know, on the same bed, just being in that room with all of that sexual energy going on is amazing. It's intoxicating.
It is crazy. It's like a drug.
Yeah. And part of this, there's another aspect to this, which is that excitement of being caught. Now, you know, when you're in an exhibitionist environment, when there's multiple play partners going on all at the same time, there is this kind of strange feeling that you've been caught doing something that you shouldn't be doing.
Right.
And you could take this steps further. You know, that there's opportunities in playrooms where you can just be watching, mm-hmm. but you're actually playing with each other, and your partners next to you, the people who are just sitting next to you, also observing, happen to be playing with themselves. And I think there's a bunch of couples that really enjoy breaking of the rules or pushing the boundaries of having sex in public.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exciting.
Absolutely.
So much. So much fun.
So that concludes our list of the pros, and we hope that you enjoyed all of that. Try to keep it a little exciting. And now we're going to touch on some of the cons.
Yes, there are downsides, cons. Sadly. Yes. The good news is there's not that many of them.
Right. I mean, there are some, but they don't happen that frequently. At least not for us. And I don't think it does for other people either. I don't find that other people that have shared their experiences have shared that they've had overwhelmingly cons in their journey.
Right. So one of the first ones that you'll run into is bad sex. It happens. Mm-hmm. These are random people, and they don't know how your body works. They don't necessarily have the best technique. We've met bad kissers. We've met bad
fuckers.
Yeah, to describe it in that way, yes.
Sorry.
And these are people who are maybe not that experienced or don't have enough personal awareness of what they're doing to be able to listen and respond appropriately to what their partner's doing.
Right.
Most of these experiences have come from men who are too rough. They're doing what they want to do, and they're not really paying attention to what their partner wants or right. what their partner's giving them in terms of nonverbal feedback. Or, like I said, bad kissers. And I know these people are unaware of the fact that they just don't know how to kiss.
It's sad.
It's very sad.
Drug use, unfortunately, is a con for us. It can be a pro for a lot of people. We find that drug use tends to make the experience for the user very self-centered. So think of it as going to a party where everyone's drinking and you are the designated driver. You're kind of feeling like this third wheel all night long.
Right.
Everyone's got the internal joke. Everyone's happy and everyone's on the same page but you. There's this kind of weird, awkward separation.
Yeah. It's feeling very disconnected from your partner.
Yes.
Because they're kind of in their own head.
Right.
We've experienced that a few times. It's kind of distracting.
It is distracting. A lot of people will use ecstasy. Marijuana is also a second favorite, but I think ecstasy is the big favorite. I don't mind if people use it. I mean, they can do whatever they want. I just choose to not have sex with people who are using X or just really not present in their body because the experience is crappy for me.
Right.
So I just rather have a good experience. And that's where me taking control of my own sexuality and my experience, I stand up for myself in that way.
You'll find varying degrees of positive or negative with some of this stuff. The next one, which is a very close tangent to it, is drinking too much.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a number of times where we've met couples who've, you know, they'll have one or two drinks to kind of loosen up a little bit and to let their inhibitions go down. That's actually really positive. The problem is we'll come back to them towards the middle of the evening or even a half hour or an hour later, and they have gone way past friendly, straight into just
inebriated.
Just plastered. It's the same kind of thing. You can't engage in conversation with them. You can't flirt with them because all the jokes are getting lost on them.
Yes.
They can't dance. They're certainly not going to be able to perform in bed. And a lot of them start to become ill.
Yes. That's no fun. That's a con.
It can get away from you. So be careful. A lot of the women have used the phrase whiskey dick before. If you've had so much substance, whatever it is, that you can't perform, you're kind of missing the point.
Exactly. Flaky people, is a con. And flaky people are people maybe you set up a date with or some sort of meeting.
Or you've tried to set up dates with them repeatedly. They'll contact you and you reach out and you entice them and it disappears and they'll reach out to you again. And it's just a series of letdowns over and over again.
Yes. That happens. You can't avoid it. People have different lives, different schedules. Sometimes they're on, sometimes they're off. They're in different places in their relationship. Scheduling changes. Maybe they're just not into you and they don't really know how to say it. So they lead you on a little bit down the road until you give up.
Maybe she's really into you, but he's not.
Right.
And vice versa. And he keeps trying to make it happen, but she keeps putting the brakes on.
Right.
You never know.
You never know.
But it does happen. And the good news is there's plenty of other opportunities.
Absolutely.
So just move on.
Just move on. Yep.
Fluidity and randomness. So kind of like the flakiness, it's very closely related to that. And that is, you don't always feel sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. And this is true of everybody in the lifestyle. You may have actually had an attraction with another couple. You may have even played with them once. But sex is fluid. You may not feel the same way the second time. They may not feel the same way the second time.
Yeah.
It happens. Of course, who knows? Maybe the third time you're back on. You've got to learn to kind of roll with it.
Yeah. It's not set in stone. You have sex with them the first time and you think, great, this is a sure thing every single time. Nope.
No.
Doesn't work like that.
It's very random.
It is.
It is very random.
It's rare to find couple that you have long-standing relationship with where you're consistently having sex, and I'm not sure how consistent that is. That's almost, I don't know what you would call that. It's not polyamorous, but
pretty close. Friends with benefits.
Yeah.
Long-term friends with benefits. So with that, kind of this fluidity, you will also run into emotional challenges. One night, you're just not quite feeling comfortable with something. And, you know, maybe you're a full swap couple and you've full swapped every single event for who knows how long. And then one night you're like, you know what? I am just not feeling it tonight. This is just setting me off. There's something wrong about this and I'm just not feeling right. It's stress at work. It's hormones. It's something you ate. Who knows? But you're just not feeling into it that particular night. And this will happen sometimes.
Yes.
You'll have these emotional challenges to something that's normal for you. And just sometimes it just doesn't feel right. Step away and just
regroup.
Regroup.
Yes.
It'll come back. You'll get back to normal and just count it out as one of those, hey, you know what? Just wasn't in the cards tonight.
Exactly.
No big deal.
Being in the lifestyle also has the added risk of being outed.
Yeah.
You try to keep it a secret as best as you can, hopefully. And somehow you're outed, whether your kid finds out. Usually when that happens, it's we have heard that the children are like 18 or 19. And they know, and they don't say anything.
Right.
They're aware. And then something comes up and they're like, duh, mom, I knew you guys were swingers. They already know, or they just ask it straight out because.
Right.
They figured it out. And they're actually really okay with it. All my friends whose children who are old enough who have addressed that are usually right around 18, 19.
Right.
And they're totally fine.
They're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
That's your thing.
Yeah.
No big deal.
So being outed to your kids, sometimes terrifying and horrifying, but what we've heard is that they don't have an issue with it.
Yeah. And we've heard a number of stories over the years of different people who've been outed or had an experience where someone that they, outside of the lifestyle, found out about their hobby. One of the particular downsides, and this is something that's come up in a number of podcasts, and actually some of the more famous podcasters that we listen to were recently outed, and it actually ended up having a huge impact in their careers and in mm-hmm. their jobs. There are ways around that, and there are ways to kind of mitigate that risk. You know, you don't play in your own town, if you don't show your face in your pictures. You just have to do what you think you need to do in order to protect yourself and to protect your identity. But do realize that this is a risk. You are in a social group, and there is an opportunity for someone to recognize you from real life. And so it is a possibility. If that is a big problem for you, take all the steps that you can, but it is a risk.
Right. Now, I will say that I've had two people from a previous job, and you have two people from an existing, or three people from an existing job.
Right.
That are all in the lifestyle, and everyone is very respectful because we're all in it. So we've seen each other at the events. No one's going to point the finger at anyone else because
they'd be outing themselves.
If you're worried about in regard to other people seeing you, we always figured, well, you're there too. So you'd just be kind of pointing the finger at yourself. So,
right.
But that's not usually what happens when people are outed. It's usually somebody else figures it out, like a family member or.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Stealing could be an issue. We had a pair of friends who vanilla hunted somebody from a bar, I think is what happened. And they took him back to their hotel room, and they discovered that while they were playing on the bed with one partner, the other partner started rifling through their belongings, the purse, the wallet. Luckily, our friend noticed what was going on and migrated in that direction, and she dropped the things that she had in her hand and then quickly picked up her clothes and exited the hotel room.
Yes.
They hadn't been watching carefully.
Right.
They would have been robbed.
Yeah. One of the other advantages of playing in playrooms in public settings, less opportunity to be robbed.
Yes. Exactly.
Inviting people to your hotel room or back to your house, you are inviting potentially a stranger into your own home, and that does come with its own set of risks.
Exactly.
One of the other things we've heard about a lot, and it's kind of the phrase that's thrown at a lot, and that is drama. Drama-free couples. Nobody wants drama. And we've seen a couple instances of dramatic events. But for the most part, what I think most people qualify as drama are couples who are having one of their fluid moments. They're not feeling right about it, and they are not necessarily doing the best thing, and that's taking it aside and having a conversation about it outside of earshot of everybody else. We're all in long-term committed relationships of our own, and with those comes complications, and you'll have emotional breakdowns at some point. It happens. You're kind of getting a window into other people's relationships because you're being very intimate with them.
Right.
For the most part, the other portion of drama that you see are couples who are maybe not on the same page with the whole thing. And that's one that becomes a little bit more apparent. And we've seen that a couple times. And it feels very awkward because it feels like someone's being coerced or pressured into doing something. And you can just kind of tell that they feel very disconnected.
Yes.
They're there, but they're not really present. And they look very nervous and uncomfortable. And that just makes you feel weird and uncomfortable as well.
As you can tell from our examples, we really enjoy this hobby. Even the cons aren't all that bad. And depending on your circumstances, there may only be a few downsides.
Thank you for joining us for this episode and listening to Ed and Phoebe at Swinger University. Please send us comments, or if you would like to share a personal story, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us via email at swingeruniversity@gmail.com.